Here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. I do the huckabuck, I do the huckabuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Hello.
Hello, people of Earth.
Welcome to the Hucklebug. I am Steny.
And I'm Bet. I'm a little scratchy tonight.
Bet is a little scratchy tonight. Yeah, we're Bet and Steny. It's episode 735 of the Hucklebug. Ends at a five.
Ends at a five.
Usually, that is the known wisdom is that if it ends in a five or a zero, it's a special show.
And isn't seven times five 35?
Seven times five is 35, yeah. So it's divisible, I guess, the 35, but... Yeah, I don't know. Seven plus three is not five, definitely. Last week's was good, though. Seven minus three is four. That was
That's a good one.
All right. We have no rips, so we're just going to begin with your shout-outs this week. Roar!
Roar!
Roar! It's more of a growl.
And in the reversal of fortune, we're going to Hucklebug Facebook.
Yeah, we're
going
to start on the Facebook
page first.
Yeah, we're going to start on Facebook this week just to mix it up on you guys.
Yeah.
There was nothing on the missive, but under the episode on Facebook, several days later, I remembered to post a link to OK Go's video Love, just like I promised. And at least one of you watched it, Kelly with an
eye.
And she says, "This is amazing." Yeah, everybody, please go see the video. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's all done
and
with
you
mirrors.
Know, I did send it to Taylor, Mr. Engineer.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't heard from him.
Nothing?
Nothing. Nothing.
I'm a whippersnapper. I'm just double checking. No, there's nothing on the missive. So we will move over to Hucklebug.com. Woo, where we have a shout out for Tina.
Stand in the place where you live.
Now leave us a comment.
And I'll start.
Welcome back, Tina.
Yeah, she says, "Well, hello. I am back, alive and kicking. Just about. And all caught up. Well,
congrats
for you.
Yeah, welcome back.
Sorry you did not get your invite to Krakow in time.
Yeah, it's too bad.
I would have been there. I would have been right there on that plane.
I would have been there too. Well, it was a lot of
and
money.
If you believe that.
There's no way Bet would have been there on a plane.
She said it was bloody amazing.
Lovely.
Although it's been so hectic, I've been sick through the whole lot. Mm. Two lots of antibiotics and steroids and still coughing.
Oh, poor Tina.
Even though this, do you want to take this?
Yeah, I'll take this bit.
Okay, it was my movie, but you're lying.
That's true. Yeah, she says, "I've got to say, you were talking about the Bob Dylan movie. I've got to say, my quote of the year so far is from Sten's. Bob Dylan does not sing. He just makes noises." She says, "That just cracked me up. I don't remember saying that, but I believe you because I do think it. So it does kind of match." We had a whole discussion in Pound Squeeze that maybe went over several days, in fact, several sessions, when we were talking about great songwriters who are traditionally not very good singers. And Bob Dylan's the top of my list for that.
Because he's number one. And like I said, I posted Tom Waits.
Yeah, Tom Waits is another one.
Yeah, who, you know, the people who write the best lyrics sing them so badly.
They do, you know.
But if you love the lyrics like me, you're okay with it.
You're okay with it, yeah. I mean, even Paul Simon, who I think is, you know, probably the greatest living American songwriter. Well, he and Dylan are probably about tied.
Oh, but I love Paul's voice.
I love Paul's voice too, but arts... It's not, you know, when you compare him to Art Garfunkel,
right,
you know, even his own mom said, you know, you sing fine, but Art has the voice of an angel. Anyway, let's continue with Tina's comment. My bad.
Jumping onto the wedding, currently sitting here doing more wedding stuff. But we don't have the evening before the wedding meal here. I guess that would be the rehearsal dinner.
That's the rehearsal dinner. That's what we have.
We all meet for the rehearsal and drinks, but then the bride goes off with her bridal party and has like a slumber party. So definitely not the groom's dinner. Although groom's dad did want to make a speech. And I put my foot down, as he can do it, at his own daughter's wedding.
That's right. You tell him.
You put that foot down, Tina.
You fucking tell him. You tell him. This is your show.
This is my girl.
That's right. That is right. She ends it by saying, anyway, have a good week.
I was so glad you're back, Tina.
XX. Tina. Yeah, welcome back, Tina. I hope you're feeling better soon. I know you've been going through it. Nice to hear from you again as well. All right, so those are our shout-outs. Thank you guys for those.
Yes.
And we will now jump into movies.
Movies, and I have a movie.
All right, let's hear it.
This morning,
mm-hmm.
my movie was Flow.
Flow, yay! What'd you think?
Well, let me tell you, Stins.
Uh-huh.
I was not expecting this movie to be anything that it was.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you talked about it.
Yeah.
It blew my freaking mind.
It's an Oscar-winning, it's certainly an Oscar-winning film, is
well,
it not?
And that's the thing, you know, Inside Out 2, mm-hmm. both of us would have thought at the time that would be the movie that should win.
Or something, there was something else that was nominated, some other, maybe a DreamWorks one that was nominated. But I don't remember what it was.
But this movie, I can't even tell you. And the little kitty, who is the star of the movie.
Yes.
And I will call her. None of the animals are sexed.
Yeah, I assume
kitty
she's a she.
Has to be a girl.
Yeah, well, I don't see any testicles hanging off of her, right. So I'm also assuming that she's a girl.
Every time that kitty goes underwater,
I know.
I just thought I would die.
I know.
Because she goes lower and lower, and then she has to climb back up and...
Yeah. Yeah. And she's making the saddest little sounds.
Oh, I know.
And I just kept, like I said, I just kept going, oh, honey, you're okay.
And all of the friends that she makes along the way.
Yeah.
Who, when you say friends, they are just journeymen with her.
Yes.
But they know each other.
Right.
So I say they're friends.
They become a community.
Right. And the things that happen, it's
a hard movie to talk about too, isn't it? I mean, it's not like something you've seen before.
Exactly. And there are a couple of things I need to ask you about this, but I'll do it later because I don't want to spoil anything for people who haven't seen it, but please, people, watch Flow.
Please see Flow. F-L-O-W.
F-L-O-W.
It's on Amazon.
But...
yeah.
At the end of this movie...
yeah.
I wasn't expecting that to be the end of the movie.
No, I know.
And when it ended, I was just kind of sitting there with my jaw dropped open. And I thought, wow...
yeah.
That they made this movie, and I so respected that that's how they wanted to
end it. I loved how they ended it. It reminded me a little bit of Ragnarok. I don't know if you're familiar with the myth of Ragnarok, but basically the ending is the beginning.
But wow, thank you for watching this.
Oh my goodness, you're so
about
welcome.
It because I just absolutely freaking adored it.
I'm glad. Yeah, and it's already an early a front runner for movie
of
the year.
And that little kid, I mean, you know, there are dogs.
Yeah, there are
dogs.
Yeah.
But that kitty is the star of the year.
This is the other thing that I didn't say when I did review it, but one of the reasons I think the movie meant so much to me personally is as a cat lover, cats are not the heroes in movies.
Right.
Ever. If they're in movies, they're villains or they are objects of ridicule.
Yeah.
They're never the hero.
They're
and
evil.
I just was, I was so overjoyed to have a cat protagonist to root for. It's just so rare.
But I will also say, because you said it when you reviewed it,
uh-huh.
No dialogue. No dialogue nope. whatsoever.
No, but when it was over, didn't you like feel like you remembered them talking to each other?
Oh, yes. Completely. Completely.
You understood what was going on and what they were right. communicating.
There didn't need to be any dialogue. Yeah.
It was perfect.
You know, between a bark and a meow and a...
Right.
Right. A, you know.
The only bit of anthropomorphizing that they did do is, you know, like they... apparently these animals know how to operate a boat.
Right.
they know how to use the water.
Thank you, Stork. Had that leg out right. going back yep. and forth.
Yep.
And there was something else. Oh, one thing I have to uh-huh. say.
Go ahead.
And I love that they did this and it only took 1 second because they could have drug it out and made it ugly, but yeah. it took 1 second. When the lemur has a piece of silver and puts it on the boat and mm-hmm. Kitty just takes her paw and throws it down. 1 second of what we all know about cats.
That's right. This is what cats do. Don't leave it there if you want to keep it.
It was so quick that it was yep. just beautiful.
Yep. I love that too. It was a good moment.
Oh, but please, it's such a good movie.
Everybody see Flo. If you've not seen Flo, see Flo. It's very good. I have a movie also. My movie I watched yesterday. I think it's on Hulu. In fact, I'm positive. I sound positive, don't I? I'm 99% certain it's on Hulu. It's called Enough Said, and it's with Julia Louis-Dreyfus and James Gandolfini. It was one of the last movies James Gandolfini made before he passed away.
I know of this movie. Never
yeah, same
it,
here.
But I know of it.
I've seen the poster, like, you know, the, yes. the box art. I've seen.
They're sitting on the steps talking.
Right,
to
exactly. Just
other.
Sitting yeah. and chatting. It's directed by Nicole Holofcener, who's directed three or four movies that Julia Louis-Dreyfus has been in. So I've seen her work before. Julia speaks very highly of her on her podcast. And they apparently have a very good sort of collaborative relationship. And so that's why I think this is the movie that they met doing. Anyway, it's sort of a romantic comedy, but it's not a rom-com. I mean, obviously they're older than your typical rom-com cast. It's Julia Louis-Dreyfus and James Gandolfini. There's also Catherine Keener is also in it.
Oh, I love her.
She's great.
One of those people who make a movie better.
Makes a movie better. And oh, bet also in that same vein, Toni Collette.
Oh.
I don't think I've ever seen Toni Collette in a bad movie. I can't think of a bad movie that Toni Collette's been in. And so it's just that they're both Julia and James. Wait, what are their names? Eve and Albert, and they're both divorced, and they both have grown daughters who are getting ready to leave for college, and so they meet and they kind of bond over that. And you know, when she's telling her friends about him, she's like, I don't know, he's not really attractive. He's kind of, you know, he's a bit flabby, you know, but you know, he seems like a nice guy. And so they go out on a date. And they get along really well. They just sync. They click very well. But Julia, unbeknownst to her at first, she's a masseuse. And one of her clients is talking shit about her ex-husband. And in a complete weird coincidence, it turns out that her client is the ex-wife of Albert. And so Eve starts, you know, learning things about him that she would not maybe have necessarily known had she not been chatting with his ex-wife. Oh. And it becomes kind of, well, see it for yourself and see. I quite liked it. I'd give it a big thumbs up. But, you know, I love Julia, so anything she's in is great by me.
And it's on Hulu.
It is on Hulu. So that's my movie. Thumbs up for Enough Said. What do you got, Beth?
Yay. Well, I have a video over the week.
Yes.
Which I shared with Stens because we do that so we can
That's
both
right.
see them.
I'll be straight with you. I did not finish watching the entire segment, but I watched about the first half of it.
I was getting ready for the show and stuff. Because I thought that you would already know about it.
Mm-hmm.
When I linked it to my sis, she knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I talk about it, some of you all may know about it.
That's right. You're behind
totally
the times
in
a bit.
The dark. Yeah. But last Sunday, day after recording,
mm-hmm.
One day out of 365, one day, yeah. I watch golf because I get caught up in the Masters.
Yeah, apparently it was very exciting this year,
It was so damn exciting.
Good for Rory McIlroy, by the way. Shout out to Rory McIlroy. Congratulations, sir.
But after the Masters comes 60 Minutes.
Right.
And there was a segment done by the very Leslie Stahl.
Yes.
Marcel the Shell would be over the moon.
That's right. That's right. I forgot about that. Yes.
About a minor baseball team in Savannah, Georgia. And they are called the Savannah Bananas.
Yes.
And the person who owns and manages and runs and does everything.
Yes.
For the Savannah Bananas. Everything is yellow. He wears a yellow zoot suit with a hat.
With a big hat. Yep.
But the thing of it is, the Savannah Bananas are a baseball team. They play.
Mm-hmm.
But they play for fun. It was mentioned, they're kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters
exactly.
of baseball.
Yep.
I
think that's a really great shorthand to give them too, so that people are like, okay, I know what you're talking about.
They dance, they mm-hmm. do routines,
mm-hmm.
Just like a league of their own. They do backflips while mm-hmm. catching a fly ball.
They'll do round offs as they're running home.
Right. They have loads and loads of fun. It's just about fun.
They also have tons and tons of fans. I mean, I think there's more people at Savannah Banana Games than there are at Mariners games, I'm pretty sure.
Exactly, because it's just fun for the crowd. That's what it's about.
Right.
And so I fell in love with that.
Yeah.
But I also fell in love watching it because I think of my wonderful nephew, Taylor and Allie, his wife, who they have a minor league team in Salem, that there's always something fun going on at the games. And they even, when they're traveling, if they're like in Duluth, Georgia, you know, going to Atlanta, and they have the time, they'll go out to a minor league game and just see all of the fun stuff that goes on that these teams bring to the crowd just so they'll have fun and be at the game. And here in our little area, Roanoke, Virginia, there is a hockey league
mm-hmm.
and there is the Roanoke Rail Yard Dogs.
Ooh, good name.
Which Taylor and Allison, they live for the Railroad Dogs because every game, something fun is going on. And I captured a little clip of something. It's very small, but I captured a little clip that I'm going to send to you to put down in the comments of when we post the show.
I'll remember to do it a couple days later.
Whenever.
Yeah.
But I just love that it's not all about money and salaries and all of that crap. It's just about people coming out and having a great time, having fun at the American pastime.
Yep, I love it. Baseball needs all the good press it can get, really.
So you go Savannah Bananas.
Yay, they are a lot of fun. They have, I've been seeing reels on like Instagram and Facebook sometimes of them just, you know, doing their little dance routines and stuff.
Yeah. Well, when I told Pat, you know, when I sent that to Pat and she already knew of them, mm-hmm. she said, oh, do you know, like this summer, ESPN is going to be showing like 10 Savannah Banana games.
That'd be great.
So I'll keep a watch out.
Yeah, same here. All right, I have an advice column.
Woohoo, I love them.
We're very cat-oriented this week on the Hucklebug, you guys, because, you know, we talked about the movie Flo, which was a movie with a cat in it, starring a cat. And the advice column is from, the advice column is called Asking Eric, which is in the Oregonian, apparently.
Oh, never heard of it.
Yeah, Asking Eric. Dear Eric, I am a 78-year-old widow who has been without a cat for 1 year now, first time in my life. Is it fair to adopt a cat if I most likely only have 1.5 to 2.5 more years to live?
Ah!
I just think that, hang on, we'll stick a pin in that, Bet. We'll be back to that. Stick
a pin in it. Well, I was going to say, you know, that's my thing about another dog.
I know. It's okay. Stick a pin. We're going to get back to that.
Stick a pin.
Yeah, because this is a short question. So is it fair to adopt a cat if I most likely only have 1.5 to 2.5 more years to live? I do travel as well. I do not have any family. So who would get the cat remains unknown. Maybe back to the adoption group. Is this fair to the cat? I feel I'm being selfish. Or is a little time at home for a cat better than none? Please advise. Cat lover. So before we get to Eric's response, I do have to talk about this whole 1.5 to 2.5, 4 years to live thing. Because it's so specific. And she says she travels. So it doesn't sound like...
She's
living with a disease that she knows is going to be ending her soon. 78, I mean, it's old, but she could still have a good 10 years. So I'm not sure what's making her think 1.5 to 2.5. I just feel like there's information there that we're missing. What would be your response to cat lover?
Well, my response to her would be the response that I wouldn't take heed of if it was given.
If it were you, yes, exactly.
Right. And my friend Dixon from Community Band, who loves dogs. He has seven dogs.
Oh, my goodness.
He once sent me in a Christmas card a little thing that he had printed out that says something about when you die, let your dog see you dead.
Ooh.
Because he will know that you have passed. If you just take him away, he'll think you abandoned him.
You know? Right.
So that's the way I think about this. Right. If you're old and you think you might die, have that cat and give her or him, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years.
Right.
But then just don't steal him away, you know, once she's gone.
Right. Well, I mean, the difficulty with that, of course, is who's going to,
Well, she says she has no people.
But she also says she travels. So, I mean, she must have friends, surely.
True.
And neighbors.
But, you know, like I said, I won't take that advice. But I'd say take the cat, give it foster. Just foster. Give a cat a good home for a while.
Yes, of course.
Love on it.
Right, exactly. That's the crux of Eric's response. Also, I want to throw what my first response was, because Eric does not cover this. You can adopt a senior cat. There are plenty of older cats. There are plenty of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old cats in shelters, even older than that.
Oh, I am sure of that.
Who may have, you know, only 1.5 to 2.5 years left themselves. Right. Or, you know, maybe even longer than that. But, you know, make sure that you've got a neighbor or somebody. Or, you know, you can talk to the adoption agency when you're adopting them. I don't know why you wouldn't want to adopt a grown cat. You could do that.
Yeah, don't get a kitten.
Obviously don't get a
kitten. If you're 78, that's not good.
Yeah, you don't want a kitten anyway if you're 78. Right. No, you want a lap cat. You want a broken in lap cat if you're 78. Here's Eric's response. Dear cat lover, the past year without a cat must have been so hard for you. I love that he starts off that way, by the way. It's a rough transition after being with cats your whole life. There are solutions that take into account what your future might look like, as well as what's best for the cat. Consider fostering a cat or cats. This not only provides companionship for you and the cat, but can potentially help a local shelter free up space so that another cat in need of a home can come in. Your local shelter, humane society, or refuge can point you to the right program and get you set up with an application. You might also reach out to friends and family. Well, she just said she doesn't have any family, but she must have friends if she's traveling. I hope she's not traveling by herself when she's 78.
Ooh.
You might also reach out to friends and family to see if they or anyone they know needs a temporary home for a pet. Some of the concerns you wrote about can be assuaged. Bet, your favorite word, assuaged, by ensuring you have a support system.
Kept me from reading To Kill a Mockingbird for 3 years.
For 3 years, but you did finally get back to it, so it's okay. That's the important thing. Some of the concerns you wrote about can be assuaged by ensuring you have a support system in place for yourself and the cat. Volunteering at an animal shelter is another great way of keeping pets in your life. Both options will put you in contact with other humans who can help you make a plan for the cat's well-being. There are so many pets that need loving homes. I think it's more than fair to welcome one into yours. So that's good. It's a good answer. I just wish he'd said, think about adopting an older cat, because there's so many old cats in shelters that people
that
walk right by them because they just
be
want kittens.
By
exactly.
People.
Everybody just wants kittens. So yeah, get an older cat. I mean, I'm not going to take that advice because I want a young cat. But the difficulty, of course, with getting a senior cat is that you may have to live through, of course, their demise as well, which is tough. It's tough enough when you're younger. I'm sure it's much harder when you're struggling yourself and in old age. I would love to know why she's so certain she's going to die within 1.5 to 2 years. It's very specific.
Well, but she's me, people.
She is you. But she needs a reason to stay alive. So get a kitty.
That's right.
I say get a kitty. All right. Donald Trump can fuck off.
He certainly can. And when I wrote this on our outline, I'm thinking, you know, we live in these times where, you know, if we speak out, we may be deported to Venezuela.
Yeah.
Or
I know.
Wherever.
We better do it. Yeah, in El Salvador
so,
in prison. We better watch
F-O-D-G-T,
out.
F-O-D-G-T, we'll just say Fodget. And no one will know what that means except
Fodged.
We wonderful Huckleberg.
We know what it
Fodget.
Means. Fodget.
Fodget. Fodget, yeah. You fuck off.
Yeah. Fuck off, you fucking fuck. All right, let's do some U rules. Who's first on U rule? You are, right?
Well, I've got a U rule, and it's one of those things that's just because I drive around every day after work, you know.
Sure.
But my U rule is for my high school friend, best friends, we hooked up. We didn't hook up, but we hooked up as best friends.
Not like that.
In high school. And then went to Bluefield State University together.
Mm-hmm.
My wonderful friend, Charlie Welch. And I know I've talked about him.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
I often think that if I was on some kind of reality show and the thing they pulled me to do for my stunt was to do a half hour of stand-up comedy, which I could never do, ever.
Right.
I could talk for 30 minutes about Charlie Welch and bring the house down.
There you go.
He is so wonderful. And he's a flight attendant now. He flies the world over.
Nice.
He has the life of Riley.
Excellent.
And I mean, really. But he does come back to Bluefield from time to time because his 92-year-old mother still lives here.
Oh, bless her heart.
Honor.
Yeah.
And so I go by, and every once in a while I'll see his car there, but it's just his car.
Yeah.
But then there are those golden times when he'll be out in the yard or loading stuff out of his car into his house. And he'll run over to my car and we'll talk. The first thing we talk is politics. We are so connected in our
politics. That's good. That is good.
And then we'll talk music, like band music from Graham High School.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll tell me stories about things that happened after we graduated that just cracked my ass up. And so Yesterday, I had the day off, but went out and drove around, and there was no Charlie there. But I think about the football games we went to.
Oh, yeah.
Just everything. And Charlie, thank you for making my weekend so happy just by thinking about you.
Aw, you that nice.
Fucking rule.
You rule, Charlie. Nice. My you rule this week, I don't do this very often. I don't do it often enough. I'm going to give my you rule this week to my cat, Scout.
Speaking of
the episode of the cow. Hi, baby. She's right here sleeping on the desk next
to
me.
Oh, say something, Scout.
No, she's too sleepy. She doesn't feel like talking. It's okay, baby. You don't have to talk. Scout, finally, after, you know, she got that injection for pain because she's been limping. I think I mentioned that, right? And it's just arthritis, but she's clearly been in a lot of pain because she was limping very heavily on that left front leg of hers. But over just the last several days, I've noticed that her limp is markedly less. She still favors that leg a little bit, but you can, you know, unless you really know her, you can't really tell that she's limping. And she's been roughhousing with Lincoln a little bit, and she's been much more active, so she's doing a whole lot better. Now, mind you, on the other end of the spectrum, all of a sudden Lincoln's not doing great today, but hopefully that's just a little temporary thing.
I hope it's a hiccup.
Hopefully that's just a hiccup. We'll see. But anyways, Scout rules. She's a very good girl.
Woohoo!
Yeah. She doesn't want to talk, though. This week, she does not want to be on the Hucklebutt. Sorry, baby. So she rules. All right. We have a topic this week.
Yes, we do.
This has been a long time coming, actually. Saskita posted this on her Facebook page.
And it's great.
Three weeks ago, I think. It says, choose your airplane seat. All right? Now, this is the... There's been
where
a couple
you're
of additions
sitting
to this.
And who you're sitting with.
Right. And this is the classic film edition. I've seen a couple versions of this.
Yeah, I know you did the Star Trek.
There was a Star Trek one. Well, you know, that wasn't a very good Star Trek one, I didn't think. There was a lot of sort of obscure characters. Where were all the captains? None of the captains were there. Anyway, this is the classic movie edition. So in the first row, we've got Elizabeth Taylor and then a blank seat. You can sit in seat number one. So you can be in seat number one between Elizabeth Taylor and Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
And then across the aisle, you've got Paul Newman, Eartha Kitt, and then a window seat, seat number two. Yeah. So you can sit in seat number one with Liz Taylor and Marilyn Monroe, or you can sit in seat number two with Paul Newman and Eartha Kitt, which is an odd combo to me. Then a little further back, you've got Katharine Hepburn, Humphrey Bogart, and seat number three on the aisle.
Or a window.
I think that's an aisle. Just judging from how the seats look, I'm thinking that's an aisle seat.
Okay.
And then across the aisle there, you've got Sidney Poitier in seat number four and Marlon Brando. So there you'd be in the middle between Poitier and Marlon Brando. Now, it's true, on the aisle, you have, if you're in seat number three, you've got Kate Hepburn and Humphrey Bogart. And then right across the aisle from you, you've got Sidney Poitier, if you like. A little further back, you've got Audrey Hepburn, empty seat number five, and Grace Kelly. And then, across the aisle from that, you've got an empty seat number six, and then Bette Davis and Joan Crawford. At least you're not in the middle. It's true. At least you have it, and you can make a quick exit if you need to. And then finally, in the back row, you've got a window seat, empty seat number seven. And then Gene Kelly, and then Judy Garland. And then across the aisle, you've got Cary Grant, empty seat number eight, Jimmy Stewart.
Yes. And so we snapped immediately.
I cannot think of a better seat on the plane than seat number eight between Cary Grant and Jimmy Stewart.
Cary Grant and Jimmy Stewart. I mean, what, you know, if anything could get me on a plane... It would be
that, right?
Being between those two men.
Yes, 100%.
100,000%. And also, I have to say, Audrey and Grace.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Grace. I mean, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
But apparently Audrey Hepburn was one of the most loveliest ladies ever. So to be between those two beautiful girls.
I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah.
I would not mind it. And I bet both of them, I bet, are excellent conversationalists. Yeah. I bet we would have all kinds of things to talk about. Now, Sisqito, when she posted this on her page, she chose seat number 7 to sit next to Gene Kelly and Judy Garland, which is pretty fair, too.
Well, them that, doing a, it is. But
doing a number together.
I kind of think about...
Judy just be drunk the whole time.
Well,
course.
I think about Judy because she doesn't like a lot of the things that we love her for. Mm. Well, she did like a lot of things we love her for. And I've heard so many stories about Gene kind of being a hard taskmaster.
He was terrible to poor Debbie Reynolds in Singing in the Rain.
Yeah, and so... You know, the picture of him, he's smiling. He's
I know. He's so handsome. I know.
You know.
Just wanted him to sing. I just
but
wanted
if
to
you
sing
just complimented him a lot, you know.
Yeah, that's true. You'd get along fine. I think I wouldn't mind sitting between Paul Newman and Eartha Kitt. I just don't want to sit. I think both of them would have interesting things to say, too. But they're an odd two to stick together, I think, for some
reason.
And
I would love to sit beside Sydney.
Same here, but not with Brando there.
No Marlon.
Yeah, I don't. You know, maybe
he could get drunk and fall asleep. Or
maybe we could make Marlon go sit between Liz and Marilyn in the front row. I have no interest in sitting in the front row with Liz and Marilyn.
Well, yeah, that's the one. If you sit there, you're going to be the ugliest woman on the plane. That's all. I don't care how much you dolled yourself.
I would definitely
up.
Be the ugliest woman in that row. Yeah, that's true. Sitting next to Betty and Joan, I might be able to hold my own a little bit. But hey, listen, you sit in seat number 3. You can talk about the African Queen the whole time with Kate and Humphrey. Because they actually were in a movie together, which is unlike anybody else that's in this. No. Cary Grant and Jimmy Stewart were in the Philadelphia Story together.
But could you bring up... bringing up Baby, would she talk about it?
Well, I would. I would bring it up. I don't know if she'd talk about it, but you know what? If she didn't, I would go back and sit in seat number 8 and talk to Cary Grant about it. I'm going to be moving around on this plane, I think, but largely I am going to be staying
now,
in my seat.
No, I'm just going to put my seatbelt on number 8.
Yeah. And just have yourself a drink and talk to Cary and Jimmy the whole time.
Yeah.
And we can just go. We can all go. Oh, C.K. Dexter Haven together.
Dost thou have a bathroom?
Dost thou have a washroom?
I just went gay all of a sudden.
Now, hang on a second. Cary Grant. He was in a movie with Jimmy Stewart. He was in a movie. Well, he was in a movie with Audrey Hepburn. He was in a movie with Grace Kelly. I don't think he was in a movie with Gene Kelly or Judy Garland. Hmm. Betty Davis, Joan Crawford, maybe.
I have no interest in that seat.
The Betty Davis Joan Crawford seat? No. In fact, just sitting behind them makes me a little worried. Just sitting behind them with Jimmy and Cary makes me a little worried because they're gonna, you know, the two of them are gonna be horrible.
Well,
the
they're
going to
give
plane.
You peanuts so you have a snack to watch.
That's the thing is I think they're going to be harassing the flight attendants and each other the whole flight. I wanted to, in my own mind, see who in this photo has been in the most movies with the others. And I think it might be Cary Grant. He was in a movie with Marilyn Monroe also. And obviously, Katharine Hepburn. I don't think he was in one with Liz Taylor, though. Anyway, so that was our topic.
Well, I was going to say, but I mean, Mr. Charm and Mr. Nice.
Yeah.
And you're right between them.
I wouldn't even have to talk. I could just listen to the two of them talk over me. I would be all right with that. Jimmy could read poems about his dog.
Oh, yeah. But I can't help but think they would listen if we talked.
Yes, I would like to think that. Yeah. I mean, I would like to think that in this fantasy.
As long as we didn't fawn all over them. We just
right. And we wouldn't do that, would we?
We wouldn't do that.
Is anybody in this photograph still alive? I don't think they are they? They're all gone, aren't they? Liz Taylor's gone, right?
Yep.
Eartha Kitt's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Newman?
Gone.
Is he okay? Didn't specifically remember. Yeah, they're all gone. So obviously in this fantasy, we can do whatever the hell we want because they're all dead anyway.
Back in the days when the Arkin brothers used to do their YouTube movies.
Yeah.
They did a movie that starred Paul Newman. Don't remember what it was. But they told the story about their mom and Alan having dinner one night with Paul Newman.
Yeah.
And there were...
And Joanne Woodward? Was Joanne Woodward?
No, just Paul.
Just Paul. Okay.
And there were certain things that their mother said she would never eat in her life.
Uh-huh.
And one of them was frog legs.
Oh, dear.
And so they went to the restaurant, and for an appetizer, Paul ordered frog legs.
Mm.
And he looked at their mom, and she looked at him, and she started eating those frog legs.
I mean, it's Paul Newman.
That's Paul Newman. That is what Paul Newman will do for you.
Of course. I would not mind at all sitting next to Paul Newman. And I wouldn't mind sitting next to Eartha Kitt either. I think seat number two is probably... Seat number five is my backup, but seat number two is my second backup.
Yeah, I think seat number five is my number two. Mm-hmm. But yeah, seat number two...
Maybe you and I can trade back and forth a little bit. We'll just... slip back and forth between Audrey and Grace and Jimmy and Carrie.
I have to unbuckle my seatbelt.
Well, that's true. That's true. They're right across the aisle, though. It's nice and close. And then Susquito will be in the back with us also, because she'll be sitting there with Jean and Judy singing away. They'll all be singing away over there.
And you know what I hope they're singing?
What?
Forget your troubles. Come on, get happy.
Did they did Be a Clown together also, did they not? Summerstock, Gene and Gene did together.
Oh, yes.
I believe they did Be a Clown. I think that's from that show. Susquito will know. You correct us if we're wrong, Susquito.
Oh.
Anyway, so that's our topic. We'll leave the photograph there, and you guys can pick your own
seats.
Oh, please,
people, tell us who you want to sit with on the plane.
Yes.
The plane of destiny.
The plane of destiny. That's it.
Well, you know, I didn't ask you at the beginning. You are recording, I hope.
I am recording, yes.
Okay, you didn't say you were. So.
No, I didn't. You're right, I didn't, but I am recording.
Okay.
We're
thank
okay.
God.
So, gang, I am recording, and that is our show this week. Fortunately, I am recording. You're right. Normally, I say, okay, I have begun the recording.
Yeah.
This week, I did not do that. I knew that I did. I think you were talking while I was doing it, so I didn't want to interrupt you.
Well, I was late.
No, that's all right. I don't care about that. Only she was 6 minutes late, you guys. It's not like it's put me out or anything. Thank you all for tuning in this week. We will actually be back next week, as it turns out. I'm going to go visit Dad the weekend after that. So you get a little bonus Hucklebug next week, but then we're off the week after that. So until next week, thank you all for listening. And
yes.
I am Stenny.
And I'm Bet.
We are Bet and Stenny, and you are listening to The Hucklebug. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye. We love you.
That's the way you do it when you do The Hucklebug.
Do 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 do
boop.